Our text today is coming from 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7 to 11. We're actually continuing a message we began last week. I didn't get all the way through it. That happens now and then. But we're diving into a discussion on serving. 1 Peter 4, 7 says this: "The end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and of sober mind, so that you may pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in his various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen." The word of the Lord. Heavenly Father, we ask that your word will go forth right now and impact our lives. Give us understanding. Holy Spirit, we invite you to move now. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going through a series on 1 Peter, which is entitled, How to Live a New Life in an Old World. The Apostle Peter is writing to converts, Christians, in Roman cities that are pagan. And he's telling them that they're exiles in this world. Their home isn't here. Our home, as believers, is in the new heaven and the new earth, which the Lord will create. I was thinking as we were singing the song, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. We often speak of the future, the eternal future as heaven. That's accurate, but it's even more robust than that. You see, in that day, in the Bible, heaven is the dwelling place of God, and earth is the dwelling place of people. When we die, the Bible tells us, immediately we'll be with the Lord in glory in heaven, in his dwelling place, in a spiritual form. But the day will come when heaven and earth will be joined together, as it was in the garden, where God walked in the garden. It'll be joined together. So the dwelling place, Revelation says, the dwelling place of God is now with men. They'll be together. We'll have new bodies. There'll be a new earth. God will be so present, and he's present now, but God will be manifestly present so we can see him, we can communicate with him. His light and glory will shine and take the place of even the sun in his brilliance. That's where we'll be forever, in heaven, on the new earth, which will be the same. We are exiles, and we don't fit in. That's our home. And this letter is a letter of urgency. We need to live well. Our sermon last week was living with urgency. That word urgency means requiring immediate action or attention, not to wait. See, most of us live our life day to day. There's lots of stuff that just happens on a mundane, rhythmic level. But we oftentimes don't have urgency in life. And we get distracted with little things that don't matter. Some of them are sinful. Some of them are just, they're fine. But they're not fine if we lose sight of what matters most. Like maintaining relationships, above all with God, but developing healthy marriages, raising kids who love God, who have wisdom and discipline, serving the Lord in our church, in our community, in a way that makes differences in lives. And so like sand passing through an hourglass, this earth is passing away. The countdown has begun. Jesus tells us that no one knows when the day or hour will be, when he will come again, but it will come. And we all face a personal end that could come at any time. And so there's an urgency. Time is running out. How well are we living? And our focus today is, how well did I use the gifts that God gave me to show love to others. And so our topic, our message today, is serving with urgency. Years ago, when I was going through seminary, I did an internship at a rather traditional country church, but it was a vibrant and larger congregation. And there's a man there, his name was Jim, if I remember correctly, a humble man, a down-to-earth farmer. He was intelligent, but I don't think he had ever completed any schooling beyond high school. But Jim taught adult Sunday school, and had for years. And he was good. He was very good. I heard people talk about the impact that his class had had on them over the years, and understanding the word and developing a deeper relationship with God. And there's one time when I did teaching there, and I just mentioned in passing the validity, the reality of angels. And he came up to me afterwards and said, "Pastor, I want to tell you something. I've told very few people because I was afraid they'd think I was crazy." He said, "Years ago, I was very shy. I came to church, but I wasn't really involved. And one day when I was in prayer, an angel appeared to me. And that angel told me that I was to teach, and that God would bless my teaching if I would be obedient. When I knew him for over 20 years, he had been teaching that adult Sunday school class and impacting lives. He was obedient to use the gift that God had given him. The Bible teaches us that we all have gifts from God in a great variety. He's given them to us for a reason. We need to discover them and put them to use. And so let's turn to God's Word and dive into this topic more deeply. Throughout the early portion of 1 Peter, Peter's focus in this letter was on how Christian believers should think and act in relationship to the often hostile world around them. He's now turning to focus on how believers should act towards their other believers, their church family. And what prompts him to make that change in thinking is his exhortation that the end of all things is near. And because the end is near, he recognizes we have got to stick together. We need to love each other. We need to walk in unity. We need to be encouraging and strengthening one another. There's a war going on. We can't be battling each other. We need to be united in love, to love this world, to overcome evil with good. Our first point last week, and we'll repeat it this week as our first point, is we're running out of time. The end of all things is near. God will soon bring an end to this world. We don't know exactly when. He'll bring an end to human history. The Bible tells us that once God's plan for this age is completed, this world will be destroyed by fire. We don't know exactly what that will look like. But we do know that he'll create a new heaven and a new earth where we'll live with him forever. And we must live in the awareness of this impending end. And as we do so, an urgency will develop within us. A recognition of the war raging around us of good versus evil. A recognition that time is running out. That the time that we can bring salvation to others through the work of the Lord. The time that we can minister and bless others. The time that we can love and give grace to our family and our friends. The time that we can bring glory to God here on earth is short. The new creation is forever. This is not the time to slack off. And so what must we do? Well, Peter gives four commands, three of which we discussed last week. The end of all times is near. Therefore, one, be alert and of sober mind so that you may pray. Second, above all, love each other deeply because love covers over a multitude of sins. 3, offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. And finally, 4, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others. Last week we talked about the importance of being alert and of a sober mind, keeping our heads so that we might see what really matters. And as we keep our heads, as we see things as they are, it's going to drive us to our knees because we'll recognize our great need of God's grace, because we don't have the capacity apart from Him to face what we face and to live well in the context of this world. And then secondly, we got to love each other deeply, maintaining unity, forgiving, seeking the highest good of our brothers and sisters in Christ. And third, we need to show love through hospitality. And then finally today, we need to use our gifts to serve others. So our next point, we're running out of time. The end of all things is near. Therefore, love others by using your God-given gifts to serve. Verse 10, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. Peter understood that every believer is gifted for the purpose of building others up in love. In our passage, Peter commands, above all, love each other deeply, and then he tells one way we can love each other, by using whatever gift you have received to serve others. And when he talks about whatever gift, there is the assumption that we all are gifted. And the purpose of those gifts is to serve. The word serve includes any activity that's helpful to others, that meets an immediate need in someone's life. Ephesians 4, Peter and Paul thought the same about the gifts, explains that the purpose of God's gifts that he gives to his people is so that the body of Christ might grow and build itself up in love as each part does its work. It's as each one of us is doing what God is telling us to do that the whole body will grow and be built up and be strong. And those gifts that build up are manifold. It includes gifts like helping people with practical needs, teaching, Sunday school teaching, cooking a meal, preaching, even prophecy, gifts of healing, gifts of tongues. All of these, Paul explains in 1 Corinthians 13, are to be motivated by love. And both Paul and Peter understand that these gifts aren't just for a select few, such as preachers or evangelists. Every believer has gifts. As you just mentioned, now Peter assumes when he says use whatever gifts you have, he's addressing all believers when he says that. He assumes we all have gifts. Paul states this explicitly in 1 Corinthians 12:7. Now to each one, manifestations of the Spirit is given for the common good. The Holy Spirit is at work in each one of us. And these gifts, they're showing forth manifestation. They're showing forth that the Holy Spirit is in us and at work in us. And they're given for the common good, for the welfare of all people. Paul teaches that we're all one body. All Christians are one body in Christ. And that body functions in each local congregation. And just as our physical bodies have different members, and everyone's important, so every one of you here at the Covenant Church have unique gifts. And those of you who are visiting with us, you have gifts that God has given you. You may know what they are, you may not. But you have them for the building up of the body of Christ. See, both Paul and Peter are assuming that the congregations to whom they're writing are moving in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. They needed them to face an often hostile world and to do the ministry that was necessary to strengthen the church, to cause it to grow and thrive. What's more, not only are these gifts given for the purpose of building up others in love, but gifts are given by God's grace to impart God's grace to others. It's by grace, free gift, God's grace alone, that you've received the gifts that you have. And as you use those gifts, it brings others grace. They actually experience God's love and grace from you. You're like a channel through which his love and grace flows. It was interesting to look at some of the original Greek words. Specifically, the word keratos is the word for grace in the Greek language. Next slide there. There you go. Keratos. It means a beneficial disposition towards someone, wanting the very best for a person, showing favor and kindness. We've all experienced the richness of God's grace poured out upon us. And then the word gift is charisma. And it has the exact same root, char, as the word grace. Next slide there. Charisma. This word, it's related in meaning, of course. It refers to that which is freely and graciously given out of a desire for a person's welfare, for their highest good. So, keratos is grace, pouring out kindness and mercy or favor on people because you love them. Charisma is the gift that is given or poured out, or gifted. Yeah, charisma is a gift that's poured out. That's where we get the word charismatic from, the gifts of the Spirit. And then this is interesting. The word joy is kara, from the exact same root. You see, when God is pouring out his favor on us, the result is joy. As we show kindness and give to others, we experience joy in giving, and others experience joy in receiving. And so we give out of joy so others will experience joy. Keratos, charisma, kara. God is freely giving us gifts, not based on any merit. It's grace, simply out of his kindness. And those gifts are given so that we can serve others. We're actually sharing God's grace through our service. And through it, people are built up. And joy comes into the body of Christ, into the lives of others. We all have gifts given to us by grace, not by merit. And we use those gifts. God's grace flows from us to others. Next thing we note about gift is that we must be faithful stewards of God's gift by putting them to use. Our gifts aren't to sit around on the shelf. Verse 10 again says, every one of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in his various forms. Somebody like my friend Jim in that country church, he had been given a gift. He recognized he had a responsibility to use that gift, and he faithfully used it for years and years and years and touched lives because of it. And so Peter says that we are stewards of our God-given gifts. In the New Testament times, a steward was a person in a household, oftentimes a slave, who served as the household manager. He was in charge of everything, a very highly trusted servant. He had no personal wealth of his own, but he distributed the master's wealth according to the master's will and direction. Now, he sometimes had a lot of discretion, but there are broad boundaries of what he should do with the master's resources because they didn't belong to him. He was responsible for managing the household's business, managing the property. It included providing what was needed for other servants, for the hired laborers, and even for the master's own family. We're to steward the gifts. The gifts aren't ours. They're God's, given to us as a trust. They don't belong to us. They belong to him. And it's not at our discretion whether or not we use them. We use them because it's the Lord who directs the use of his resources. Everything you have is God's. And that's the way we should live all of our lives. We're his. Lord, how do you want me to live? And there's practical things in life it's just wisdom that directs us. But even in that, we're doing it all for him. You see, the master has a job to do. He wants us to build others up. He wants us to reach the lost. He wants us to accomplish his purpose here on earth. And he does that through his church, through you guys, through me, through all of us. And he gives gifts to do it. And we need to use those. It's not our call whether or not we use his resources. And so God's grace is given to us. And as we show that, as we do serve, that grace is extended to others. Now, that grace God gives a rich variety of vital gifts. Out of grace, God gives a rich variety of vital gifts. In verse 10, Peter speaks of God's grace in various forms. That word actually means manifold, rich in variety. There's so many gifts. In 1 Corinthians 12, Paul lists 9 gifts. In Ephesians 5, he lists 5 gifts. In other areas, Peter and Paul list other gifts. See, in all these lists, they weren't trying to be exhaustive. They were just sampling some of the many variety of gifts that God has given to the church to build up the body of Christ, both qualitatively as we grow in Christ and become more like him, and quantitatively as we draw others to Jesus. In our passage, Peter divides all the gifts into 2 broad categories, speaking and serving. Verse 11, he says, if anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides. Both speaking and serving, the gifts in both categories, are equally God-given. They are equally needed by the body of Christ. And in both cases, we have to rely upon his Holy Spirit to give us what's needed to accomplish what he's called us to do. And so, first category, we are to speak, Peter tells us, by the Spirit's inspiration. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. Well, that's a powerful statement, isn't it? Now, speaking covers all forms of verbal gifts, whether that be teaching or preaching, prophecy or tongues, or intercession, prayer, or teaching wisdom to your children, or sharing your faith with a fellow worker. All of these fall in that category of speaking. And so Peter is broadening the traditional understanding of prophecy to include all words that come out of our mouths as believers. If anyone speaks, they should speak as if they're delivering the very words of God. Sunday school teachers, think about that. Your exhortation is to be the very words of God. Bible teachers. Now, this isn't to scare us to death, right? It's to help us realize that God is at work through our speaking and to give us a sense of reverence and awe even as we communicate. Exhortations to friends, to children, sharing your faith. Speak every word as if it's the very word of God. We need to be so sensitive to the Holy Spirit. This is our goal. We don't always attain it by any means, but we need to be so sensitive to the Holy Spirit that each word we speak, we utter with a God consciousness. In faith, believing that the Holy Spirit is at work in our words. Paul says it in this way in Ephesians 4:29, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your minds, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." Make this your practice, passing every word you speak through this filter. Is this word building up? You know, those hot moments in your marriage where you have a conflict going, you pass things by that filter. Whoa, would that change how you spoke, how you responded? Am I speaking with such wisdom that my words express God's words? Now, of course, there's small talk, you know, and talk about the weather and about the lions. It's a very short conversation. There's normal day-to-day communication that takes place. But even these things can be done with a God awareness. Is what I'm saying being said in a way that is upbuilding and that honors God? So there's the speaking. And then there's the serving. We are to serve in God's power. Peter says, if anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides. Service, basically, in this context, earlier he used the word serve to include all gifts. Now he's breaking it down. And here the word serve refers to anything that's not speaking. Preparing a meal. Leading a small group in Alpha, working at the soundboard, music, art, cleaning the church, cleaning your home as service, visiting those who are sick, helping those that are in need, giving, and so much more. And Peter says that this service is to be done with the strength God provides, which means independence upon the Holy Spirit and His strength. We can try to serve out of our own zeal and strength, which is a recipe for ineffectiveness and burnout in the long run. Or we can depend upon the strength that God provides. Dr. Peter David's, in his commentary on 1 Peter, writes this: God has ordered the job done. God will pay the expenses, be they material, physical, or emotional. He backs up the act of the Christian who is being a good steward of his gifts in dependence upon him. God will back you up. God's anointing flows through our acts of service. Now, we don't always think that. They seem so normal. But as we do them in dependence upon the God, we allow His Spirit to work through us in the most typical of tasks. We can have this mindset. Brother Lawrence in The Practice of the Presence of God, if you've not read that, I'd read it again and again and again. He learned to just do the practical things of life to the glory of God and out of love to God. And it changed everything in his life. And so God's anointing flows through simple acts of service. Just as when we speak, we have a God awareness. When we serve, we should have a God awareness. Serving with the expectation that the Spirit will bring impact. It changes our whole attitude about how we're serving. I remember a time when I was pastoring in Holland. I was at church on Saturday finishing up my sermon. And when I left, my friend Jack was out working in the yard. Now, Jack was gifted in landscaping and yard work. It wasn't what he did professionally, but wow, he had a beautiful yard. And because of his gifting and his leadership skills, he was in charge of the yard of our church, which always looked beautiful. Well, he had called a work day, and he was the only one that showed up. So I walked out, and I saw Jack raking. I said, "Jack, you're all alone." And he was not happy. Yeah, no one, everyone wants to, just do their own thing, and they don't care about blah, blah, blah. And he just kind of spouted off. And I said, oh, I'm so sorry. It's tough.
Yeah.
I said, you know, Jack, even if you're the only one here, you're doing this as a service to God. And God sees. And God is blessed. And God will bless you for what you're doing as you do it unto him. And he kind of looked at me and said, okay. So just as you continue, just do it to the Lord and do it out of joyful service to him. And see if that doesn't help. And I was actually in my car with my window rolled down talking to him. So I said goodbye and drove off. Came back the next day in church. He came up to me and said, Paul, what you said, I just began to rake and mow for the Lord. And it changed everything. He came up to me a couple of years later and told me that he still experienced that joy in serving as he did it unto the Lord. And fortunately, he had a lot better turnout at a lot of the events. But he did it to the Lord, in the Lord's power, and to the Lord. Finally, the goal of loving service is that our words and deeds might both build up others and bring praise to God. We've already talked about they build others up. We direct our gifts to others to build them up. But we also direct our gifts towards God to bring him praise, as Jack learned to do in his serving there in the yard. And when we serve in God's power, depending on him, we allow his grace to flow through us to touch others through whatever we may be doing. And as that happens, whether people see us or not, in all things, Jesus will be praised. Again, referencing Dr. Peter Davids in his commentary on 1 Peter, the idea is that in every incident of ministry by Christians, God's glory or reputation will be enhanced or revealed. God's character shows in the life of those with whom he is identified, us as believers. In whatever way, by whatever gift, the goal of all ministry is to bring glory to God. And by the way, the word serve and the word ministry is the same word in the Greek language. Serving one another glorifies God. Because as we serve and love others, people will see that we're identified with Christ, and they'll praise God for the things that we do for them. And so Peter breaks out in praise. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Not to us, to him. Psalm 115, verse 1 says, not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name be the glory because of your love and faithfulness. He says, amen. That word means so be it. Let it be. Let it stand. It is true. And so to summarize in a statement all that we've said, in our response, we're running out of time. Therefore, show love by faithfully stewarding your God-given gifts to build up others and to bring praise to God. There's an urgency. Time is short. Will the covenant church impact our community and impact those who come? Will you? Will we speak each word? Will you speak each word? Will I speak each word as if it's the very words of God? We'll use God's grace that he's given to us to bring God's grace to others. What gifts do you have? How are you using them faithfully? You know, Pastor Dick isn't here today because he's preaching right now. He's a gifted preacher. He won't be here next week or the week after because he's preaching both of those Sundays. And then he'll go down to Florida where he can just relax and not do anything, and he'll preach every single Sunday to a group of believers. We have three retired pastors here. Isn't that remarkable? I love it. They're all godly men. And they're all using their gifts continually, though they're all retired. But it's not just about pastors. So many of you continue to use your gifts. You know, one thing we learned in the kingdom is retirement isn't a time to retire from God's work. It's an opportunity to give yet even more. in ways that we can give and according to the gifts he has given us. Don't grow weary. Don't grow weary in giving in your marriage and in caring for your kids and in trusting God to work and touch your colleague's life through how you live by his grace. We're so imperfect. Don't grow weary with one another. Don't grow weary with me. I'm imperfect. But keep building each other up. As we treat each day with urgency, we will accomplish God's grand purpose for our lives. May he help us discover that fully. And we'll be part of the accomplishment of his grand purpose here on earth of reconciling all things to himself through Christ Jesus for his glory. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, your grace is abundant. You've saved us by grace apart from our works. You've loved us. You brought us into your kingdom of light, your kingdom of light. And Father, you've given us a trust, our lives, our time, our energy, our resources, all that we have, all that we are belongs to you. It's all our life is a gift to us from you to be used according to your goodwill. And so guide us, Lord. Is God stirring in your heart about an area where you can serve? Where you have the capacity? And it, like my friend Jim, who felt very inadequate to teach. He was so shy. But as he stepped out in obedience, the Lord provided. What area is he calling you to serve, to step out in faith? Maybe it's helping with the children. Maybe it's helping with our next alpha. Maybe it's serving a neighbor or a person at work in some practical way. Opportunities will arise. Heavenly Father, guide us, and may we be faithful in stewarding the gifts that you have given to us. And Lord, may it all result in glory to your holy name. We ask it in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord, our Master. Amen.